Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
Earlier this month, the Greek freighter Oliva, carrying a hull full of soybeans, was heading from Brazil to the Philippines. Suddenly, just before dawn, disaster struck. The cargo ship hit a rock and began taking on water. The captain issued a mayday.
Confirm to see if there's water in your engine room. Yes.
Close to the sinking ship was the Prince Albert II, a luxury liner carrying eco-tourists. Ship and crew helped save those still aboard the doomed Oliva. On the Prince Albert, as guest ecologist, was David Guggenheim, also known as the Ocean Doctor. Dr. Guggenheim recorded the drama and the ecological disaster that followed. We reached him by sat phone as the Prince Albert was leaving the island where the freighter ran aground in this inaccessible part of the South Atlantic.
In fact, Tristan da Cunha is considered the most remote inhabited island in the world. So we were pretty much in the middle of nowhere. These islands are unique. They harbor some of the most magnificent bird life. It's the second highest concentration of seabirds in the world. And talk about the most remote possible place to run your ship aground. It's still a great mystery of how this could have possibly happened.
We can see a huge hole on the side of the ship just now.
As it happened, the crew aboard the Prince Albert II was trained exactly for this type of rescue. Teams set off in inflatable Zodiacs to inspect the ill-fated freighter.
Right above the rocks, there's a massive hole.
And our rescue team came back, and people were feeling the effects of just being out there for an hour or two with oil around.
The Oliva was hemorrhaging oil, on board 300,000 gallons of heavy marine fuel. Enough for a voyage halfway around the world. It was all hands on deck, not a moment to lose.
Robin West, the head of the expedition team, is right here, and he really played the lead role in the rescue, and the rest of us watched in awe from the ship. And I'll put Robin on to talk to you about that. Hello?
Hi, Robin. It's Bruce in Boston with Living on Earth.
Yes. Hi, Bruce. And how are you?
I'm well, but tell me about this rescue. You wound up saving how many of the crew members of this cargo ship?
10. The ship itself was pretty much very close to the shoreline. A rock had punched a hole through the side of the ship, and it was rolling and moving on that rock. And the big fear was that the ship was going to tear into two and break up quite quickly, so we had a small window of opportunity to try and get them off the ship. We went ahead and launched three of our Zodiacs to grab guys and bring them into the boat. And we in fact, managed to do it.
Thank you very much. Understood everybody is in Zodiacs now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you very, very much, Captain. You must also thank your team there. Very, very well done, Aver.
Thank you. We will do so, of course. Thank you. Thank you.
The ship sank, didn't it?
That's correct. 8 hours later, 2 o'clock in the morning, it tore into two pieces. On the side closest to where the shore side was, a lot of the oil had spilled out and was trapped in that area.
It's like heavy fuel, oil, black, and it smells heavily. Try to avoid so nobody gets it in their eyes because then...
What a mess.
It is a very big mess. There's obviously a very, very large concern that that heavy diesel and that oil will be there for a very, very long time.
Well, Robin West, great job. Nice going. Can I speak to Dr. Guggenheim again?
Yes, I'll pass him on to you. Thank you very much, Bruce. Hello.
Boy, Dr. Guggenheim, what a high adventure on the high seas.
Well, it is. This has been, I think, the expedition of my life. And unfortunately, I mean, as great of an event that was, there wasn't a lot of time to celebrate because we realized there was much more oil in the water than we had thought there was the last time we had seen the ship. And when I went ashore, finally, at Tristan da Cunha, 2 days later, we had to wait for the weather to clear. I met with the local head of the Department of Conservation, a man named Trevor Glass, who told me that the oil had since envelop the island.
You said that oil is now all the way around Nightingale Island?
Oil is the whole way around Nightingale Island, and you can smell it. The seals, the boys say, the seals are acting very strange. Some is full of oil when they come up also.
And you said half of the, or your team said half of the penguins?
Half of the penguins was coming up. It's full of oil. I have the photos, but it's totally black.
You know, if you had to pick the worst place to spill this oil, it really demonstrates that, you know, you don't need a super tanker or even a small oil tanker to create an environmental catastrophe.
Some of these birds are very, very rare.
That's exactly right. In fact, the spectacled petrel is found only on the neighboring Inaccessible Island, and we found out that oil had reached Inaccessible Island. And the northern rockhopper penguin, half of the population is found right here in the Tristan Island group. There's also another bird that's only found in this area. It's only 50 nesting pairs, which is called the Tristan bunting, highly endangered. And again, you know, very, very vulnerable to this sort of spill.
So what happens now to this remote, ecologically unique area? What can be done? Can anything be done?
Well, we're doing what we can, and we can only hope that it's within enough time. There's no airstrip, so logistics are terrible. They are still very inadequately provisioned for an operation of this magnitude. With time being of the essence, we're very concerned that help is too far away to reach them in time.
I've seen some of the photos of the penguins covered in petroleum. It's really heartbreaking, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's horrible. And, you know, the problem is also it's not enough to clean them externally because they are ingesting this stuff internally. And once they get coated, they start to preen and they can get very sick. It's highly toxic.
The passengers aboard the Silver Seas Prince Albert II, what are they thinking?
I think it opened people's eyes to what can happen and just how vulnerable some of these natural areas really are. It's also brought out the best in everybody. People are asking, how can we help? We even had a suggestion, let's just take the penguins aboard the Prince Albert II and bring them back to rehabilitate them. I mean, I, for one, would be honored to have penguins living in my bathtub, but, you know, that's just not practical. This ship isn't set up for that sort of specialized care. We don't have the right equipment. We don't have the right materials, but the spirit was there, and it's very, very admirable. So it's something they'll never forget.
Well, Dr. David Guggenheim, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you so much, and thanks for paying attention to this tiny little speck of the planet, because it's an important one.
David Guggenheim, a.k.a. the Ocean Doctor, speaking to us by sat phone from aboard the Prince Albert II. The luxury eco-ship helped save sailors and witnessed an environmental disaster in the South Atlantic. For incredible photos, go to our website, loe.org. Coming up, paying a visit to people who live on top of the world. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.